The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello, everyone. This is Brad McDonald. It's good to be back in the studio here down in the cellar of Edstone. It's been a while since I've been on the radio, so you'll have to forgive me if there's a little rust here at the beginning. In today's program, I'd like to talk about what I think is a really interesting development or trend that we're seeing on the world scene right now. I'd like to talk about the simultaneous attack on the Jewishness of Jerusalem, and at the same time, what looks to me like a really powerful endorsement of the Jewishness of Jerusalem. At the same time, we're seeing the world, we're seeing even Israel's friends in America, in the White House, they're coming after Jerusalem. They're coming after Israel, and they're coming after Jerusalem as being uniquely Jewish and being especially significant to the Jews and to the nation of Israel. Meanwhile, in the last few years, we've seen hard evidence emerge, and even as recently as last month, a couple of weeks ago, we see evidence emerge, hard evidence, artifacts, scrolls and bulle and massive walls. We've seen all of this evidence emerge in the last few years and even in the last two or three weeks, proving the Jewishness of Jerusalem, proving that the Jews have really a unique and long history with that city. And it doesn't seem to be coincidence that as the world steps up its attack on Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel and as the most important city to the Jews, that we see more and more physical evidence emerging proving the Jewishness of Jerusalem. There really is a global effort going on right now to sever the Jews' connection to Israel and specifically to this city of Jerusalem. There is a war against Jerusalem. Jewish Jerusalem. There's a war against Jewish Jerusalem. A big part of this campaign really is just the international community's refusal to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Israel's opponents around the world have done this for years. They refuse to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. They refuse to recognize the Jews' connection to Jerusalem. But even today, we're seeing some of Israel's closest friends refuse to recognize Jerusalem as being critical to Israel, the nation of Israel, and Israel's history and the history of the Jews. Stephen Flurry covered it a few weeks ago on this program. That is the White House's release of President Obama's remarks at the funeral of Israeli President or former Israeli President Shimon Peres. Mr. Obama traveled to Jerusalem. He delivered some statements, as you do at these funerals, and then the White House released those official statements. Now, to begin with, the White House published Mr. Obama's statements, and it said on the website that they were delivered in Jerusalem, Israel. On the website, it said Jerusalem, Israel. And then I think it was a few hours later. It wasn't that long. A few hours later, maybe a day or two, the White House edited the website, whitehouse.gov, to say Jerusalem, Israel, but then it put a dash mark through Israel, saying that President Obama delivered these remarks from Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is not in Israel. I mean, it's weird to put a dash mark. Eventually, a few days after that, the White House just put Jerusalem. These remarks were made in Jerusalem. But as many people noted at the time, it was a blatant rejection of Jerusalem belonging to the Jews and to Israel. Just a flat-out rejection that Jerusalem belongs to Israel. Of course, America's policy and the policy of most nations in this world, they don't recognize Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. Most countries, most UN member states want Jerusalem, to be an international city. And they want Jerusalem to be the capital of a Palestinian state and even an Israeli state. But just going back to this, the retraction or the editing of this post to the White House website, I've wondered if the whole thing was planned from the beginning to be that way, if it wasn't a mistake to initially put Jerusalem, Israel. Rather, I mean, I've wondered if it was initially posted as Jerusalem, Israel, so the White House could go back and scrub a line through Israel and then eventually remove Israel, just to send the message that this is the way we view Jerusalem. This is what we think, Israel, about your claim that Jerusalem is your capital city and the capital city of the sovereign nation of Israel. There's all kinds of little gestures like this that really reveal an attack against Jewish Jerusalem, an attack against Jerusalem as belonging to the state of Israel. Last year, America's Supreme Court rejected a law that allowed U.S. citizens born in Jerusalem to say on their passport that they were also born in Israel. If you've got a passport and if you open your passport, you'll see that it has the city of your birth and then the nation of your birth. Well, this law by the U.S. Supreme Court says that American citizens born in Jerusalem, they can have Jerusalem as their city of birth on their passport, but they can't have Israel. Because, well, Jerusalem isn't the capital of Israel. Doesn't belong to Israel. Anywhere else, I mean, any other passport, you have the city of your birth and the nation of your birth. I was born in Perth, Australia, and my passport says he was born in Perth, which is in Australia. If you're born in Washington, D.C., your passport would say that you were born in Washington, D.C., in the United States of America. If you were born in London, your passport would say that you were born in London, England. But if you're an American citizen born in Jerusalem, you can't have a passport that says that you were born in Jerusalem, Israel. Over and over, we're seeing attacks on Jerusalem like this. Attacks specifically on Jerusalem being the capital city of Israel and being connected to the Jews. There's a global effort going on to pry Jerusalem away from the Jews. And as we'll see here in a minute, it's not just Jerusalem. I think we can be even more specific. It's a specific part of Jerusalem that the world now really wants to see pried away from the Jews. Last week, Brent Nuchtigal, he's our man in Jerusalem, the trumpets man in Jerusalem. He's actually in America right now, but he wrote a terrific article talking about a couple of resolutions that were recently passed by UNESCO. UNESCO stands for United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, UNESCO passed these resolutions demanding Israel cease all archaeological excavations in East Jerusalem. And again, this is just another attempt, this time by the United Nations, which really is at the vanguard of efforts to undermine and destroy Israel and Jerusalem and Jerusalem's connection to the Jews and to the state of Israel. the timing of these resolutions was really interesting, and a lot of our listeners would recognize this. But 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Trumpet editor in chief, he was talking to the Philadelphia Church of God, and he was really, Mr. Flurry was really talking a lot about Jerusalem and how important the city of Jerusalem is to the Jews' history, and how so much of the artifacts and the archaeological discoveries that are being found in Jerusalem really declare the veracity of the Bible and God's truth. It's such an important city to the Jews, but even to the whole world. And pretty much at exactly the same time, we have the United Nations passing these resolutions that reject the Jewish history of Jerusalem, and resolutions that say adamantly the Jews need to stop digging in Jerusalem. In these resolutions that this UNESCO passed, they called Israel an occupying power. I mean, that's nothing new. But the UN identifies Israel as an occupying power. And the land in East Jerusalem where these excavations are taking place is occupied Palestine. Now, that's interesting. Usually, I think a lot of people refer to, East Jerusalem, or at least certain parts of East Jerusalem, as occupied territory. Territory is vague. It's not identified whether it's with Israel or the Palestinians or anyone else. But the UN says that Israel is digging in occupied Palestine. They've already, by making that statement, they're already giving the Palestinians statehood. They're already identifying East Jerusalem as part of the nation of Palestine. That hasn't happened yet. No one else has recognized that. But already it's made its way into the UN's terminology. But I'll just read one of the resolutions, or point 5 of this UN resolution that was passed on October 13th. Again, right at a time when the Trumpet's editor-in-chief is really focusing on the significance and the importance of archaeological excavations and the discoveries that have been made in Jerusalem. Important not just to the Jews, but even to the whole world. This is what this resolution says. The UN deeply deplores the failure of Israel, the occupying power, to cease the persistent excavations and works in East Jerusalem, particularly in and around the Old City, and reiterates its request to Israel, the occupying power, to prohibit all such works in conformity with its obligations under the provisions of the relevant UNESCO conventions, resolutions, and decisions. So it comes out, and it says Israel needs to stop excavating in East Jerusalem, in occupied Palestine. But no one's accepted that it's occupied Palestine. In his article, Brent talked about this, and just how significant this request is from the UN. And this is what he wrote. Notice that the resolution is not just for protecting the Haram al-Sharif itself, but preventing the persistent excavations and works in East Jerusalem, particularly in and around the Old City. UNESCO and its Arab sponsors are resolved to shut down all archaeological excavations in and around the Old City of Jerusalem. This is critical, he says, because just outside the walls of the Old City, south of the Temple Mount, in an area that is technically part of East Jerusalem, some of the most important archaeological digs in the world are underway, especially for those interested in biblical history. These excavations could not be more significant. And I'd add to that, they couldn't be more exciting. If you're interested in the Bible, even if you're not interested in the Bible, if you're interested in history, if you're interested in maybe seeing how history proves the Bible, if you're interested in the history of Jerusalem, then these excavations are just incredibly exciting and really worth looking into, because the archaeologists over there are discovering incredible artifacts. And here we have the UN wanting all of that shut down. Brent continues, in fact, almost all of ancient Jerusalem, the city of the biblical Melchizedek, King David, and King Solomon, is located on the half-mile-long hill immediately south of the Temple Mount wall. This location is where the very earliest settlement of Jerusalem is found. This is, I mean, I don't know the exact dimensions. Like he says there, it's about half a mile. I've been there a few times. It's really an incredible experience to walk around this part of Jerusalem. But this half a mile long strip, this is the most important piece of land in Israel. This is the birthplace of the Jewish religion. This is the seat of Israel's history. This is where so much biblical history from both the Old Testament and even the New Testament took place. This is where the prophets walked. This is where King David lived. This is where King Solomon lived. And that's not, you know, that's not me just reading my Christian beliefs into it. The facts prove that. This is where so much biblical history took place. It's also where a lot of prophecy or prophetic events are going to take place. It is the most important piece of territory in the nation of Israel. I mean, it overflows with amazing historical and archaeological evidence. Evidence that proves the Jews' connection to Jerusalem. And here we have the UN saying Israel must stop digging in this area. Why would they do that? And it's just interesting that the effort to sever this connection between the Jews and Jerusalem is intensifying right now and in the past year or two or three. But think about this. Could you imagine someone coming along to, let's say, America and telling the Americans, well, I don't want you to explore the early history of America in Philadelphia and New York and in around Washington, D.C. and Massachusetts and all those states up there. We don't want you exploring that. We don't want you excavating that. We don't even want you to look at that, and we certainly don't want you to talk about that and to write history books about it and teach it to your people. Now, I mean, you can talk about California, and you can talk about Louisiana. You can talk about everything west of the Northeast, but we don't want you focusing on that history up there in the Northeast, where the 13 original colonies were. I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, it's ludicrous to think of that happening. And if it did happen, well, I mean, the Americans would say, forget about it. That's the seat of our history. The Louisiana Purchase and you know what happened west of let's say DC. I mean, that's significant, that's important, but it all grew out of events that occurred in the Northeast. And it's exactly the same with Israel. I mean, there's lots of interesting history all through Israel, even interesting history, biblical history. But it all grew out. And the Jewish religion and Jewish culture and Jewish history all grew out of events that took place in this half-mile stretch of territory just south of the Temple Mount. All of this history grew out of events that took place in that area. And that's the area that the UN and, you know, much of the international community is saying, well, Israel, we don't want you talking about that, and you need to get out of there. No more archaeological excavations. Get out of there. The United Nations is going after the heart of Jewish history and culture and religion. and not just Jewish history and culture and religion, but even Christian history and culture and religion. The Christians in this world, and there's more than a billion of them, I think, they should be concerned about this. This is an attack on them too. This is an attack on the Bible. It's an attack on the Bible and what the Bible teaches. This war against Jerusalem and Jerusalem's history, this great global effort to sever this connection between Jerusalem and the Jews, and you could, in some ways, you could say to sever the connection even between Jerusalem and Christianity. The UN, the White House, a lot of European countries, a lot of people in Britain, they want us to see Jerusalem as just, you know, a history of significant historical importance, but they want Jerusalem to be cosmopolitan, and they see it as you know, being multicultural and multi-historical. I don't even know if that's a word, Sam, but it's got all these different histories and it's important to everyone. Now, to do that, the first step they have to do, or the first thing they have to do, is they have to sever this connection that the Jews have with Jerusalem. In March, just a couple more examples of this global war being waged on Israel. In March, the UN Commission on the Status of Women, I mean, I don't even know how many different bodies the United Nations has. It just seems like we learn about a new one every day. But the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women, at its annual meeting in New York, condemned only one country for violating women's rights. That country was Saudi Arabia. That country was North Korea. That country was Iran. That country was Pakistan. No, of course not. The one country that the UN condemned for violating women's rights was Israel. Israel was condemned for violating the rights of Palestinian women. On the same day, the United Nations Human Rights Council concluded a month-long session in Geneva, and it concluded the session by condemning Israel five times more than any other of the 192 UN member states. There were five council revolutions that were anti-Israel, or that condemned Israel for certain actions. There was one for Syria, one for North Korea, one for Iran. And Russia, Saudi Arabia, China, these countries weren't even mentioned. There is a global campaign seeking to undermine and destroy the nation of Israel, and specifically Jerusalem. Another trend or development that we're seeing emerge here recently, or that more and more people are talking about. Many are wondering if America's president, Barack Obama, is going to take some last shots at Israel before he leaves office. Mr. Obama has been the most anti-Israel president in American history, and a lot of people are wondering, you know, before he leaves in January, is he going to do, you know, is he going to do some significant things to undermine Israel's sovereignty, to undermine Israel's control of Jerusalem? I'll just read a quote here from the Wall Street Journal. This is from October 31st. Israeli diplomats gird for the possibility that President Obama may try to force a diplomatic resolution for Israel and the Palestinians at the United Nations. The White House has been unusually tight-lipped about what, if anything, it might have in mind. But our sources say that the White House has asked the State Department to develop an options menu for the president's final weeks. So there's three or four options at President Obama's disposal. The Wall Street Journal article continues, one possibility would be to sponsor or at least allow a UN Security Council resolution condemning Israeli settlement construction, perhaps alongside new IRS regulations revoking the tax-exempt status of people or entities involved in settlement building. Mr. Obama may also seek formal recognition of a Palestinian state at the Security Council. That would run afoul of Congress's longstanding view that Palestine doesn't have internationally recognized attributes. But I mean, it would run a skew of what Congress has the view Congress has long taken. But I mean, it wouldn't be the first time America's president has discarded the longstanding view of Congress and done what he wanted to. Just one last quote from this journal article. The worst option would be an effort to introduce a resolution at the UN Security Council setting parameters for a final settlement between Israel and the Palestinians. And that would no doubt include words to say that Israel needed to relinquish East Jerusalem. The French have been eager to do this for some time, and one option for the administration would be to let the resolution pass simply by refusing to veto it, or the U.S. could introduce the resolution itself, all the better to take credit for it. So what this is talking about is the U.N. could make a resolution that says, we accept Palestine as a sovereign state, and this part of Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine. Up until this point, it's just common knowledge that if the U.N. did that, America, which has veto rights in the U.N., would veto that. It would say, forget about it. That's not going to happen. It wouldn't pass. But what this journal article is saying is, what if President Obama puts that resolution forward saying, okay, America will recognize a Palestinian state and will support the UN if they make a resolution recognizing a Palestinian state? I mean, that would be huge. That would be enormous. I mean, that's a whole nother program talking about the ramifications of Palestinian statehood. If Palestine is recognized as a state, then, you know, so many of Israel's activities in that state would now be illegal. And if they're illegal, then there needs to be some enforcement. I mean, we can't talk now about what that would mean. But it really, really would be a massive, historic decision. And here's the Wall Street Journal saying, or at least raising the question, would Mr. Obama do this before he leaves office? Now, I've read one or two articles that say that if he did this, it would create a nightmare situation for the next president. One article said that Hillary Clinton has talked to Mr. Obama and asked him not to do that because it would just create a mess for her. But what if Donald Trump becomes president? Would Mr. Obama have any qualms about creating a nightmare situation for a Republican president? I don't know. It's just interesting to think about. But the point of this first section of the program here is that there is a global war being waged against Israel and specifically against Jerusalem and Jerusalem as a Jewish city. There's a war being waged on the history of Jerusalem as a Jewish city, and this is significant. And the outcome of this war is going to affect us all. Now, at the same time, we're really witnessing some incredible proof of the Jewishness of Jerusalem. We're going to go ahead and take a break, but after the break, we'll come back and we'll look at some of this amazing evidence that's emerging, even in recent weeks, proving the Jewishness of Jerusalem.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Jerusalem. The name means City of Peace, and yet no city has had a history filled with more war and bloodshed. No city has suffered like Jerusalem. It has been the focal point of religious wars throughout the centuries. Jerusalem plays a central role in the beliefs of three major religions: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. To the Arabs and Jews, Jerusalem is a national symbol. While both sides have attempted to form peace treaties, Jerusalem continually remains the center of dispute. Why all this conflict surrounding Jerusalem? Will the Israeli-Palestinian peace process put an end to the chaos? Will there ever be peace in Jerusalem? The Holy Bible provides the answers concerning the future of this great city. Your Bible states that the tensions revolving around Jerusalem are only going to worsen before they get better. This city will be engaged in some of the worst violence ever to occur in the history of man. But there is great hope for Jerusalem. At the conclusion of these painful events, Jerusalem will experience glory and magnificence as no city ever has, and there will finally be peace in Jerusalem. To understand the important role Jerusalem will play in future events, visit our literature library on thetrumpet.com and request our free booklet, Jerusalem in Prophecy.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back. I'm Brad McDonald, and I'm filling in for Stephen Fleury on the program today. In the first segment, we talked about the global war on Jerusalem, and specifically the global effort to sever the connection that the Jews have with Jerusalem. Now, as I hinted at, or I think I stated it pretty explicitly, at the same time that this war against Jerusalem is taking place, we're also seeing an incredible, let's say, you could call it a campaign, and it's being enacted probably by a higher power. But there's an incredible campaign going on to prove that the Jews have a special and a unique connection to Jerusalem. And I think in some ways the emergence of all of this evidence showing and proving and testifying to the Jews' relationship with Jerusalem, perhaps this explains some of the hostility, the blatant hostility that we see in this world and the growing hostility we see in this world toward Jerusalem. But as this global effort to undermine Israel and to sever this connection between Israel and Jerusalem gains momentum, we're seeing more and more hard evidence emerge that proves the Jews' connection to this city. Really, if you wanted to put a date on it, I think you could put 2005 as the date that we began to see hard evidence be discovered. That's the date that Mr. Gerald Fleury puts on it in his writings. But since 2005, there's been an explosion of evidence showing and proving that the Jews have a special relationship and a special history with this city. Even here in the last few months, we've seen evidence emerge. And again, it's just interesting that this evidence is emerging at the same time as the attack on Jerusalem is taking place. Last month, Israel's Antiquity Authority produced a fragment from a papyrus scroll that was dated to the 7th century. So again, this happened, I think it may have been on the same day or the day after UNESCO made these resolutions attacking the Jews' history in Jerusalem and pretty much rejecting the Jews' history in Jerusalem. On the same day, we have this piece of scroll emerge that was dated to the 7th century BC, and there was text on this scroll, and the text on this scroll was written in Hebrew. Not Greek, not Arabic, not Latin, not Chinese. The text on this scroll was in Hebrew, and it said, this is a quote now of the text that was on this papyrus scroll, from the king's maidservant from Narat, jars of wine to Jerusalem. Again, at almost exactly the same time that the UN is producing resolutions ignoring the Jews' connection to Jerusalem, here we have evidence emerging, proving yet again that the Jews have a connection to this city. Here's what the New York Times wrote about this discovery. The Antiquities Authority, an independent government body, said it was the earliest known source, aside from the Bible, to mention Jerusalem in Hebrew, and added in a statement that the other place mentioned, Nerut, appeared in the biblical book of Joshua. The authority noted that Jerusalem was the capital of the kingdom of Judah at the time, known as the First Temple period. So here we are, 700 or 800 years before Christ, and here we have, let's say, non-Bible related evidence proving Jerusalem, Jews are living in Jerusalem, and that it was the capital of the Jews. Earlier this year, or I think it was late last year, we heard a lot about the discovery of Hezekiah's bulla. This news story was released, I think, toward the end of 2015, November, December. And the trumpet, really, we helped Dr. Mazar break this story. It was a great moment for us. But we have a clay seal impression, and it was discovered in the royal quarter of the Ophel. The Ophel is just south of the Temple Mount, adjacent to Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's right in the heart of this half-mile strip of territory that the UN wants to kick Israel out of. But this clay seal was inscribed, or it had an inscription which read, "Belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah." An incredible discovery, and probably the most noteworthy, the most important thing about this discovery was the fact that it was found, what they call in situ. It was found in place. It was found in its original context. It wasn't, you know, there are other bulla out there that have been, well, they were dug up by robbers and then sold on the black market. And it's hard to, when it's sold on the black market, you can't prove where it came from exactly. But this Hezekiah bulla was found right in place. I'll just read a quote from from earlier this year, from Haaretz article. The Hanukkah miracle wasn't finding King Hezekiah's seal impression by the Temple Mount. It was finding it inside the royal building in Jerusalem, where the seal had actually been used 2,700 years ago, proving its authenticity. The discovery provides further testimony to the powerful status of the ancient Judahite administration in Jerusalem of the time. That's amazing. So here we have another incredible find, hard evidence proving the Jews have a long history, the longest history of any people with Jerusalem. Just continuing with this Haaretz article, Hezekiah is the ancient Judahite king about whom we know the most. He is extensively described in the Bible and is mentioned in Assyrian documents too. The discovery of his bulla in situ is much more than just a cool find. Added to other rare evidence, it attests that Jerusalem in King Hezekiah's time was not some hilltop village, as some postulate. It was the administrative center of the Judahite kingdom. In 2008 and 2009, we have the discovery of two more bullas. And these two bullas were discovered in excavations in the city of David. Which is a couple hundred yards from the Ophel, just down the hill from the Temple Mount. And it's, again, this is in that half-mile strip of territory that the UN wants to kick Israel out of. And it doesn't want any more excavations in this territory. But in 2008 and 2009, two bulla were discovered that had inscribed on them the name of two figures that you can find in the Bible. My Hebrew is pretty horrible, but I think it's Yeukol ben Shelemayu, and then the Gedaliah, son of Pashur, bulla. Both of these figures are mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 38. These were two princes in King Zedekiah's court in Judah, and these two men wanted to have Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, or they had him thrown in a dungeon. They wanted him killed. And here we have literal, physical, tangible evidence. I mean, I've seen these bulla. I've handled them with my hands. I mean, that was a frightening experience. We had these bulla in the auditorium in Oklahoma We built an entire exhibit about these incredible artifacts. And the reason we were able to do that is because, well, Armstrong College students were involved in discovering these bulle. But again, we have more hard evidence showing that the Jews have a long and unique history with Jerusalem, and specifically with this territory in Jerusalem, this territory that the world really wants to kick Israel out of. In 2010, Dr. Elat Mazar continued excavations that were begun by her grandfather in the 1980s in the Ophel area. This is that area just south of the Temple Mount. Again, this is the area that UNESCO wants to close down to excavations. And in her excavations in 2010, Dr. Mazar unearthed a huge royal structure in the Ophel. It was comprised of two floors. And then using pottery and other artifacts, Dr. Mazar was able to date construction of the first floor and the walls in this royal structure to the 10th century BC, to the first temple period. And as she explained, all of this evidence pointed toward this structure being built by King Solomon. In 1 Kings 3, verse 1, it says that Solomon built the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem around about. And again, I've been here. I've stood by this wall. It's a massive wall that was built not by some little tribe. I mean, this wall was built by a people who had access to top quality engineers and top quality craftsmen. And you can even study this science for yourself. You can visit this. You can walk through this royal structure if you visit Jerusalem. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I don't think it's coincidence that in the last few years, since 2005, that's the date that that Mr. Flurry put on it, since 2005, we've just seen artifact after artifact after artifact after artifact emerge, showing that the Jews have a long history and a deep and unique connection to Jerusalem. I just wanted to read. This is again from last month, and this is an article reporting on Jewish artifacts being found on the Temple Mount. This is really pretty incredible. The digs since 2007, there's been a dig on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, as I understand it, is administered by a Jordanian organization, and as part of, they requested of Israel that they could perform some maintenance works on the Temple Mount, and Israel said, well, you can do it, but we want to have some archaeologists there keeping track and documenting what you find. And so since 2007, this has been happening. The article, this Times of Israel article, made the point that there hasn't been too much publicity about it because it's so sensitive. But here's what this Times article from October 27th reported. And again, October 27th, this evidence was reported just last month, when it seems like all this anti-Israel, anti-Jerusalem, all these efforts are converging. It says, Israeli archaeologists on Thursday presented new details of what they said were the first tiny artifacts unearthed in situ on the Temple Mount, ever conclusively dated to the time of the first temple over 2,600 years ago. Archaeologists have previously found a limited number of artifacts from the first temple period Jerusalem, but none of those finds were uncovered atop the mountain itself. Rather, they were recovered from the Ophel excavations to the south or from the Temple Mount sifting project. That's interesting too. And again, there's more proof here of the Jews' connection to Jerusalem. But in the late 1990s, the Jordanian organization responsible for managing and protecting Al-Aqsa, or the Temple Mount, wanted to expand the mosque. And as they didn't, as they expanded the mosque, they didn't conduct careful archaeological excavations in which they documented everything they found and filed it away and preserved all of that history. Quite the opposite. Jordanian crew came in with bulldozers and backhoes and dump trucks, and they just started digging. In the end, they hauled out more than 400 truckloads of dirt and rubble. But this dirt and rubble came from the Temple Mount. I mean, this is one of the most, if not the most significant religious site in the world. And they just came in with backhoes and started dumping it into trucks, and then those trucks just carted it off and dumped it in the field. I think it might have been dumped in the Kidron Valley. There was no archaeologists there. There was no scientists there documenting the find. I mean, this is what the United Nations should be up. United Nations should be upset about. I mean, this was an atrocity. What was happening to all of this history? And then what happened is Jewish archaeologists came along after. They hunted around to try find where all of this rubble and dirt was dumped. And then, you know, since they found it, they've been conducting the Temple Mount sifting project. They've been going through it now, looking for history, looking for archaeological evidence. Because, I mean, this dirt and rubble came from perhaps the most important religious site in the world. Just continuing now, I'll read a quote here from Brent's article. He's talking about what Jewish or what Israeli archaeologists have found from all of this material taken out of Al-Aqsa. But Jewish artifacts have also been discovered dating to 2.5 millennia earlier. These are artifacts now found in all of this rubble that was just carelessly removed from the Temple Mount. Artifacts have been dated to the lifetime of King Solomon. Thousands of pottery fragments, the 7th century BC Hebrew seal of Imna, half-shekel coins 2,000 years ago bearing an engraving of a menorah, and a multitude of other items. All of these overwhelmingly confirm a Jewish connection to the Temple Mount and prior to the Muslim period. So, of course, they found Muslim artifacts too, which were, you know, probably interesting. But the artifacts speaking to the Jews' history in that area were significantly older than the artifacts speaking to the Muslim history in that area. Again, isn't it interesting? Isn't the timing of all of this interesting? Just as we see the United Nations and you know, different lots of European countries, different organizations around the world, and even America's government, just as they really begin to step up the assault on Israel, and especially on Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and as they step up their effort to sever the connection that the Jews have with Jerusalem, it's just interesting that at the same time that all this is happening, we have more and more hard physical evidence emerging, proving that relationship. It's just really interesting timing. This city of Jerusalem is key to the identity of Israel. It's key to the identity and even the message of the Bible. Jerusalem is a theme of the Bible. It's a theme of prophetic events discussed in the Bible. And we see a world now that really is seeking to destroy that history. I mean, that's really what's happening here. When the UN, when the White House, when all of these countries turn on Jerusalem, when they attack Israel, they're not just attacking a people. They're not attacking human beings. They're trying to attack the history of Israel. And more specifically, they're trying to attack the history of Jerusalem, the history that of the Bible. It's an attack on the Bible. It's an attack on the knowledge that we have in the Bible. The more I think about it, the more I just wonder if this whole campaign really is specifically about the city of Jerusalem, and undermining and destroying the history of that city and the relationship or God's history in that city. Jerusalem's history proves the God of the Bible. And all of this hard evidence that we've seen emerge since 2005, it too proves the God of the Bible. It proves God's existence. And just to summarize some of the evidence that has been discovered since 2005. Well, first, let me just read a quote. This is a quote from Mr. Gerald Flurry, the Trumpet's editor-in-chief. It's from a reprint article titled "Archaeology Thunders, Behold Your God." You can find that article on thetrumpet.com, and I'd really encourage you to go and to read it and to study it. I mean, I really think a lot of what I'm talking about today revolves around that statement, "Behold your God." That's what that half-mile strip of territory, that's the message that it thunders. Behold your God. The Ophel, the city of David, those Bulae, Solomon's Wall, the message that all of that thunders is, behold your God. And that's the message that the UN, that the White House, that the international community is trying to destroy. But here's what Mr. Flurry wrote in this article. Until Dr. Mazar found David's palace in 2005, the two Bulae in Nehemiah's wall and the two Bulae in Nehemiah's wall, almost nothing had been found relating to the periods of David, Jeremiah, and Nehemiah. Many scholars labeled most of it as a myth. Think of the impact Dr. Mazar's dig has already had on this world. Now think too about where would we be, or where would those who want to oppose this global campaign to undermine and destroy Jerusalem's history, where would we be if we didn't have these hard artifacts? It really makes you wonder if God, I mean, God's given us these artifacts. He's been behind these archaeological excavations. But we have all of this hard evidence now proving the Jews' connection to Jerusalem, and nearly all of it has been discovered since 2005. That's really exciting. We've discovered the palace of King David, these two Bulae from princes in Jeremiah's court, Nehemiah's wall, Solomon's royal quarter in the Ophel, the Hezekiah Bulae. We've even had artifacts testifying to the Jews' history in Jerusalem discovered on the Temple Mount itself. It's just interesting and pretty wonderful too to think that Armstrong College, the college that we have headquartered in Edmond, Oklahoma, we've been involved with a lot of these discoveries. This is really exciting, and this is something for all of us to really think about and to study into. There is a wonderful message in the discovery of all of these artifacts. And as I've tried to make plain here today, the emergence of this hard evidence right now, and it seems like every month there's a breaking story talking about an artifact or a papyrus scroll or a piece of writing, something that shows and proves that the Jews have a long history with Jerusalem. That evidence has never been more important. As I said, without this physical proof, it would be much harder to oppose the global campaign that's going on and that's intensifying to destroy the history of Jerusalem and to destroy the Jews' connection to Jerusalem. Mr. Flurry, for many years now, whenever he talks about Jerusalem and the archaeological digs in Jerusalem, he goes to Isaiah 40 and verse 9, and there it says that we have to send out a message of behold your God, and that really is the message of these artifacts. Behold your God. They all speak, all these discoveries, they don't just speak to the Jewishness of Jerusalem. They don't just speak to the really wonderful and unique history of this city of Jerusalem, but they speak to the veracity of the Bible. They speak and prove the truth of God's prophecy. They prove God's existence. That's the biggest story here. The biggest story here is, behold your God. So this is just a really interesting trend to think about. I'd encourage you to really stay in touch with thetrumpet.com. We have Brent in Jerusalem, and he's studying these things and reporting on these things. Trumpet editor in chief, Mr. Flurry, of course, is leading all of this, and he's setting the bar. And God is doing something wonderful through this work, and the message that we have really is special. This message of behold your God. Thanks for listening to me today, and I don't know when I'll be back, but hopefully it won't be too long.